الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تواضع لله رفعه الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama, elders, beloved brothers, every promise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and every promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is 100% accurate and it's 100% true. Whether it conforms to our logic or not, but it is 100% certain, accurate and true. We find that our deen is not based on logic. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, لو كان الدين بالرأي لكان أسفل الخف أولى بالمسح من أعلاه. That if deen had to be according to logic, then it would have been more appropriate that a person, he makes masa on the bottom portion of the khuf, the leather socks that a person wears when he walks. It is the bottom portion of the socks that gets dirty. So it would have been more appropriate that a person, he makes masa on the bottom portion of the socks. But he says, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَمْسَحُ عَلَى ظَاهِرِ خُفِّهِ. But he says that most certainly I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making masa on the upper portion of the socks. So this is a clear indication that deen is not according to our logic and according to our understanding, but according to what is the command of Allah ta'ala and what pleases Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. A person, there are many examples, a person,
he lets out wind.
So where does the wind emerge from? But the command of Shariat is a person has to day after make wudu. Your wudu has broken. So when he makes wudu, he's washing his face, he's washing his hands, he's washing his feet, he's making masa of the head. So where is the logic? Where did it emerge from? And what are we asked to now wash? Similarly, if you look, a person, he goes to Makkah al-Mukarramah to perform Hajj. So every salah that is performed in the haram of Makkah al-Mukarramah, the reward is multiplied by 100,000. So a person desires that every namaz of mine, I should read in the haram of Makkah al-Mukarramah because there is so much of reward. But when it comes to the 8th of Zulhijjah, now what is the command of Allah Ta'ala? That now you must move out of Makkah Sharif. And now go to Mina on the 8th of Zulhijjah. And then not only that, but on the 9th of Zulhijjah, the command of Allah is leave the boundaries of the haram also. And come out of the boundaries, now go to Arafat. And spend the 9th of Zulhijjah till sunset in Arafat. So logic demands that a person should stay in Makkah al-Mukarramah, perform every salah in the haram of Makkah al-Mukarramah. But what is the command of Allah Ta'ala to leave and to go even out of the boundaries of the haram? Even if a person has to look at the tawaf, going around Kaaba Sharif, or running between Safa and Marwa, if a person that is a stranger to Islam, to him he will think that what is wrong with these people? Are they insane? What is wrong with them? But this is the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That whether it appeals to us or it doesn't appeal to us, it is the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and a person adheres to every command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So a person practices upon deen not because of logic, because the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So I mentioned every promise of Allah Ta'ala is true. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wipes out the barakah from riba, from interest. Allah Ta'ala wipes it out. Now logically, if a person looks at it, I'm giving a million rand loan, and on that million rand that I'm giving, I'm getting 1.5, or I'm getting 2 million, whatever the amount might be. So logically, if he looks at it, I'm making 100% or even 200% profit on that. So I'm increasing. But Allah Ta'ala is saying that that wealth of yours is going to decrease, is going to be destroyed. And on the other side, وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. That a person, he takes out sadaqah, whether it is his 2.5% zakat, whether he takes out nafil sadaqah, whatever it might be. When he looks at it, the logical mind will tell him that your money is decreasing. If you took out 10,000 rand from 100,000, you have lost. You only got 90,000 now. But Allah Ta'ala promises that that wealth of yours is going to increase. Allah Ta'ala will increase it for you. So every wada, every promise of Allah Ta'ala, every promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is 100% accurate and is 100% true. And this should be our iman. Similarly, in this hadith that I have recited, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that man tawadha lillah rafa'ahu Allah. that that person that humbles himself, for who? For the pleasure of Allah. Then Allah Ta'ala will elevate that person. Now again, if with the logical mind, if you have to look at it, what will a person say? That if I'm going to lower myself, if I'm going to humble myself, people will ride me. They'll trample upon me. They'll have their way with me. I'm too soft. This is a soft person. But the hadith says that Allah Ta'ala will elevate that person. Allah Ta'ala will raise that person. And on the contrary, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Man takabbara wada'ahu Allah. That a man that has takabbur, a man that has pride, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will humiliate that person. Allah Ta'ala will drop that person. And what does a logical mind say? That a person that has pride, I got authority in my company, I got authority in my institute, wherever it might be, then only will I get work done. But Allah Ta'ala says that when you have this pride, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will lower a person. So this is that iman and this is the yaqeen that a person should have. Now this tawazu, this humbleness, and this topic I have chosen because I need it myself firstly. That is why we have chosen this topic. That this tawazu, this is a requirement, every person requires this tawazu. If a person does not have tawazu, then a person will become like Fir'aun. Fir'aun, the pride that he had, he wanted to remain a ruler. And because he wanted to be a ruler, Mufassirin have written that he took the life of 80,000 children. 80,000 children were slaughtered because Fir'aun wanted to be a ruler. A person will become like Qarun. Qarun, when nasihat advice was given to him, that this wealth that Allah Ta'ala gave you, use it in the correct avenue. So what did he say? إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. This is not from Allah Ta'ala, na'udhu billah. It is my intelligence that I have acquired this wealth. So when pride comes into a person, then he becomes like Qarun, a person becomes like Fir'aun, a person becomes like Namrud. So contrary to this tawazu is what we call pride, which is a killer disease. Ulama say that many of the diseases that we find, the spiritual maladies, that is why we are here, to rectify these spiritual maladies, to cure ourselves. Many of these diseases, they are the result and the consequence of pride. When a person has pride, then all these diseases come about. And this also they have proven from the Quran Sharif, that when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala commanded the malaika that now I've created Adam alayhi salam, make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu salam. So all of them make sajda, except Iblis. Lam yakum min as-sajidin, he didn't make sajda. So Allah Ta'ala asked, Ma mana'aka alla tasjuda iz amartuk. What stopped you? What prevents you? You didn't make sajda when I commanded you to do so. So he said, Ana khayrum min. I am better than him. I am better than Adam alayhi salam. I am better than this human being. So ulama say, before this, there was never disobedience of Allah Ta'ala that had ever taken place. This was the first disobedience of Allah Ta'ala that had taken place. So when the first disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was pride, they say all the other disobedience that follow, that come later on, that most probably that this is all the consequence and the result of that pride. So if a person has to look, for example, at a person has jealousy. So this jealousy that a person has, this is a consequence of pride. Because a proud person, every ni'mat he wants for himself. That if it's a car, then the best car must be for me, and nobody else must enjoy this car. If a person got a property, then the proud person desires that I must have this property, and nobody else must have this property. If somebody is an alim, and he speaks very, very well, then a proud person will say that that ni'mat must now be given to me, and must be taken away from that person. Somebody recites very well, that must be taken away from him, that must be given to me. So this jealousy is actually the result and the consequence of that pride. That ni'mat must be snatched away from that person and must now be given to that proud person. If a person looks at anger, what a terrible disease. This is the consequence and this is the result of pride. When a person has pride, now he wants his way. At home there's husband and wife. So the husband wants his way, he's proud now. I want my way, it's my way or the highway. So he wants his way. So now when the wife is not prepared to give him his way, what's the result and the consequence of that? He becomes angry. And the consequence of that anger, now he issues 3 talaqs. And when he issues it, now later on he starts regretting, he goes into depression, and he can even go to that extent where people say, now I want to commit suicide, Allah Ta'ala save us. But what was the problem? The actual problem was the pride that a person had. 2 partners were in a business. One partner wants his way, the other partner wants his way. So what happens, even though these 2 partners may be brothers, but because the person got pride, he wants his way, doesn't want the other person, doesn't want to budge with the other person. So finally what happens, he might go to the extent, he can even draw his firearm, and here he shoots somebody, and somebody is gone. But what was the problem? The problem was the pride. The pride brought him to this stage. A person is a respectable, honorable person in society. But now he wants his way. So he has an argument with somebody. It might be in the hub of the CBD. In daytime, mid-noon. But now because he can't have his way, he gets angry. He becomes vulgar. Now he loses himself. And he loses all that respect of his. So what was, why did he become angry? Because the result was the pride that a person has. So ulama say so many diseases, they stem just from this pride. A person makes ghibat. Many a times it is the consequence of pride. A person hates somebody. He has books for somebody. This is the consequence of pride. Therefore, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, he says, when anyone comes to my khanqa, he says that outwardly that person might not be on deen. He says, but more important than that, he says, my concern is the pride that is in that person. Because a person that has this pride, he says, he won't smell the fragrance of Jannah. Allah Ta'ala save us from this. So we find that this tawazu, what is tawazu? Tawazu is an Arabic term. And tawazu actually means that a person sincerely, he humbles himself and he regards everyone else to be superior to him. That I am absolutely nothing. And everyone else is superior to me. That is what is tawazu. Now how does a person express this tawazu of his? So one way of expressing this tawazu is with titles. Whether a person verbally, he says, I am Nachiz, I am nothing, I am useless, I am a great sinner. So one is verbally, he uses these titles. And the other way is he writes. When he writes in a letter, he'll write in the bottom of the letter when he writes his name, Ahkar, Nachiz, Badkar, Siyakar, I'm a sinner. He will write all these titles. So that is one way he tries to express his tawazu. So just by merely writing these titles, a person doesn't become mutawazi. He doesn't have tawazu, just by writing these titles. A person will get tawazu. When a person, he humbles himself, if he gets the tawfiq of reading two rakats of namaz, if he gets the tawfiq of waking up for tahajjud, then what does he do? He says that this is the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala. This was no effort from my side. I could not do anything. But Allah Ta'ala gave me the tawfiq. That is why I was able to do this amal. So this is the actual reality of tawazu. It is mentioned, Munashaf Ali Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he mentions, he says, I've seen many of my buzruks and many of my akabirin. He said, they had the reality of tawazu in them. And this our Hazrat also explains to us many a times. He said, I've seen that many of my akabirin and my buzruks, they used to say daily to themselves, that you take their name, you'll say, Muhammad, currently amongst all the Muslims, you are the worst person. They will regard themselves to be the lowest. That amongst all the Muslims, you are the worst. And as far as the future is concerned, you are even worse than a kafir also. Because it is possible that that kafir at the time of death, he will recite kalima and leave this world. But how we leave this world, we don't know how we're going to leave this world. So as far as the future is concerned, I'm even lower than a kafir. One khalifa, Mawlana Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Khair Muhammad Saab Rahmatullah Ali. On one occasion, he went to another khalifa, Mawlana Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali, Mufti Muhammad Hassan Saab Rahmatullah Ali. So he told Mufti Muhammad Hassan Saab Rahmatullah Ali, he says, there's a certain condition that I'm experiencing. So he said, what is it? He said that when I sit in the majlis of Mawlana Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he says that I feel that I am the worst person in the entire majlis of Mawlana Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali. So Mufti Muhammad Hassan Saab Rahmatullah Ali, he said, that condition that you are experiencing, the very same condition I experience as well. So the both of them said that this is a condition that we have. So we need to now explain this condition to the Sheikh, so that the Sheikh can prescribe the remedy. That is this person on the right path, or does he require some treatment? What is it? So together they decided to go to Mawlana Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali. So when they came to Mawlana Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali, the both of them, they explained this condition to Mawlana Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali. So Mawlana Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, that the condition that you are experiencing, there's nothing to worry about. He says, when I sit in my majlis, who was Mawlana Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali? He says, when I sit in my majlis, and when I discuss any matter of deen, he says, I consider, and I also experience the same feeling, that in this entire majlis, that I am the worst person. Now when a person, he comes to that level, when he regards himself that I am nothing, then can we imagine this person even causing harm to another human being, or even to an animal, any makhluk of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Mawlana Mia Asghar Hussain Saab Rahmatullah Ali is mentioned in the month of winter, when Isha Salah is generally early, so people are indoors. And if people are walking outside, perhaps in India in those days, you'll even hear the footsteps. So he used to finish his wazaif, whatever, malfuzat, whatever he had to finish, his wazaif, etc. at night. And then he used to be returning from the Isha Salah. So every day he'll come to a certain place and he'll take out his shoes. And then he'll walk without shoes. And then he'll come to a certain spot and he'll put on his shoes and he'll proceed home. So somebody asked him, he said, Hazrat, every day this is your mamul. You come to a particular place, you remove your shoes. Then you put on your shoes after a distance and you proceed home. What's the reason? So initially he didn't want to explain. Then he explained after some time, he said, that this particular area where I come and I remove my shoes, there's an evil woman that is here. This woman in her younger days, she used to adorn herself, she used to sell her body. So because she was young, perhaps she was attractive, so people used to incline towards her. They used to come here and fulfill their desires in a haram way. But now she has become old. But in spite of becoming old, she still adorns herself every day, waiting that some client will come. So he says, when I'm coming from the Isha Salah, when I come to this point, then I think that perhaps she will hear my footsteps. And because of this, she will think that there a customer is coming to my house. And when I continue, when I pass her house, then all the hopes that she had will all be shattered. And because of this, she'll experience some difficulty also. So even this evil woman, I don't want to cause any harm to her. So this is how far they went. You heard from our Hazrat Dawud Barakatum, that the very same Hazrat Maulana Mia Asghar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, one occasion he was sitting, they were eating mangoes with Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So after they had eaten those mangoes, so Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh said, Hazrat, I'll clear the dastarkhan. So he said, do you even know how to clear the dastarkhan? So he said, Hazrat, in our Hazrat's word, Hazrat says that you need a PhD to know how to clear the dastarkhan also. So he said, yes, there's a way of clearing the dastarkhan. He said, it is the mango season here. But there are so many poor people out there, they haven't even eaten a single mango. If you're going to take all these peels and you're going to dump it in one place, and if a poor man is passing by who hasn't eaten a single mango, he's going to look at all these mangoes. What difficulty he's going to go through? I haven't eaten one mango, look at the amount of mango peels over here these people have eaten. So he says, take the peels and distribute it in different places, little bit. So when it is removed, by the refuse removal, etc., then even if a poor person has to see that amount of difficulty, he won't experience. So this is when that tawazu will come in. Now if you look at Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best example is in Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Tirmizi Sharif, the riwayat comes, that when any person came to meet Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he made musafaha, he shook the hands of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, such honor Nabi alayhi salam would give him, he would never move his hand until that person removed his hand. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam won't turn his gaze away from that person, won't look away from him, until that person would turn his gaze away. So much of honor Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave every human being. And then the riwayat says, that when he would be sitting in a gathering, the knee of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam won't be ahead of the knee of the remainder of the congregation. Commentators of hadith have explained that what is the meaning of this. They say that this means that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sat in his majlis, the Nabi of Allah, what was his shan, what was his status? But he sat like every other human being. But then there was a difficulty that many outsiders, many strangers would come to visit Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they would come in the majlis, everyone is equal here. So they won't know who is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was one difficulty. The second difficulty was this. When Nabi alayhi salam would be delivering his discourse, now people want to see the speaker from the back. So they can't see who is the speaker. So this was the second difficulty that they had. So then Sahaba requested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you permit us, let us make a little stage in our terms, so that you can sit on this little platform. So when people come, they'll also know that who is the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and people can also see you from the back. So then only did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permit that this little stage is put on, this little platform is put on. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would sit there and offer his discourses. In one narration it is mentioned, ma ru'iya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ya'kulu muttaki'an. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was never seen in a condition that he would be eating whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be reclining. Like a slave, like a servant. This is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam humbled himself and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam partook of his meal. وَلَا يَتَوُ أَقِبَهُ رَجُلَانِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ. And you will never find that two people walking behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why absolute humbleness? Ulama have written, the reason for this is that a person, if he is walking in front and now there are two people that are walking behind him, then perhaps shaitan will deceive him at that stage that I am someone superior. And because of this, I got people that are following me. So therefore Nabi alayhi salam displayed so much of humbleness, وَلَا يَتَوُ أَقِبَهُ رَجُلَانِ, that even two people wouldn't walk behind him. Wala Tami rahmatullah alayh, this was the tawazu of our akabirin and buzurgan al-deen. This is just for us to admire, to take lesson from what humbleness they had. Mullah Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said to his mureedin that if you see me walking anywhere alone, then let me walk on my own. He says, don't come and join me. And Mullah Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi then said, he said that a condition where there are two people on my right and there are two people walking on my left, he said, this particular scenario is most disliked to me. And then Mullah Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned on another occasion, he says that if you see me walking with a packet in my hand, he says at that time also, don't come and carry that packet. Obviously, this is the tawazu of Mullah Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. For those that are the mureedin, that shouldn't be our attitude. We should go and offer ourselves at the feet of our sheikh, where we are getting deen from, where we are being directed towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We must give our lives for our sheikh. But I'm just explaining the tawazu of Mullah Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, in spite of being mujaddid millat, hakimul ummat. So Mullah Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he mentioned that let me carry on like a normal human being. And this is that condition that is loved by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, abdiyat. When a person is a normal person, he has servitude in him. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in so many places in the Quran, Allah ta'ala praises Nabi alayhi salam, or he refers to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as abd, subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylam min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa. That pure is that being that made his servant travel in a portion of the night. So there abdihi made his servant travel from masjid al-haram to masjid al-aqsa. تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. Blessed is that being that revealed the Furqan, referring to the Quran Sharif, one of the names of Quran, على عبده, upon his servant Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. All praises due to Allah that revealed the Kitab upon his servant Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the Hadith also, as the Mufti Sahib mentioned in the Jum'ah Salah, that أحب الأسماء إلى الله عبد الله وعبد الرحمن. That the most beloved names to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is Abdullah, is Abdul Rahman. So a person becomes a slave of Allah. This is that tawazu that is required from a person. In another hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned, مَا خُيِّرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَيْنَ أَمْرَيْنِ إِلَّا أَخَذَ أَيْسَرَهُمَا. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a choice between two matters, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will take the easy matter. That I won't take the difficult. In taking that matter that is difficult, what happens, a person is so to say making a da'wah, he's making a claim that I am a strong person, I am able to take the difficult task. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would display so much of humbleness that which is the easy task, that is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam would choose. Hazrat Dr. Abdul Haysab Arifi rahmatullah alayhi, he gives a beautiful example of this. And he says that when a person is cooking rice, he says, what do we do with that rice? He says that rice is put into a pot to boil with water. So initially the rice, it is raw, it is uncooked. And uncooked rice, nobody can eat. The uncooked rice, it's got no scent also, there's no smell in that rice. And the uncooked rice, it's got no taste also. So when you put it into the pot, and now you want to cook that rice, so that rice will now start boiling, it steams. So it makes a lot of noise in that pot. Now you'll find when it is boiling, there's a lot of noise with that rice, with the movement of the rice. But later on, when the rice is close to being cooked, now you'll find that rice, it now swells. And when it swells, now no longer you'll find that noise. That noise has disappeared. When the noise has disappeared, now that rice is cooked rice. And that rice you can now eat also. That rice, it's got some scent in it also. It's got a different scent now. And it's got flavor in it. So he says, similarly, as the Dr. Abdullah Hisab Arifi rahmatullah, he says, a person that has pride in him, he makes a lot of noise, a lot of dawah. He says that I have done this, I put up this institute, I gave in this organization, I have conducted so many programs, I have done this, I have built this, I have done that. So he says this is like that rice that is uncooked, makes a lot of noise. Nobody likes that type of a rice. And he says that person, when tawazu will come in, then he is very, very quiet. And he continues with whatever work of deen, etc. he's doing, he does it, but very, very silently he continues with it. And when this tawazu will come into a person, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will let this person shine in the world. As Mawlana Alim Yasab rahmatullah alayh, Mawlana Hassan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayh, what a great alim, what a great mufassir of the Quran, what a great personality. So he wrote the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this seerat was in approximately 6 volumes. After writing the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he thought to himself that I have wrote the entire seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but that which I have written, do I even have a speck of this in my life? So he started thinking. And then he said that I need what I have written, this is what I require in my life. Our Hazrat explains And Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah, he says, this is tasawwuf. He said, ma'lumat ko ma'mulat banana. What is your ma'lumat? What you know? What you have acquired in the madrasa, the knowledge of deen? Bring this into practice. So nevertheless, Mawlana Alim Niyaz Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he said that I need to go to a great alim who will then allow or bring this into my life practically. So he heard of Tana Bone of Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, and what work Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi was doing and how the world was benefiting from Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. So he decides to go to Tana Bone. So he goes to Tana Bone, he becomes bi'at to Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. And after staying with Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi for some time, he is now departing. So when he's departing, he tells Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he said that, Hazrat, give me some nasihat, give me some parting advice as I am now going. So Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi also, he said, such a great allama, Mawlana Alim Niyaz Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he said, what nasihat am I going to give to Mawlana Alim Niyaz Sahib rahmatullah alayhi? So Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said, that time I made dua to Allah Ta'ala in my heart. And he said, Allah, put such nasihat in my heart that will be beneficial to me and that will be beneficial to Mawlana Alim Niyaz Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. And then Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said, he said, bhai, hamare tariq mein, awwal se akhir tak, apne aap ko mitana hai, apne aap ko mitana hai. He said, brother, that in our path of tasawwuf, from the beginning right till the end, there is only one thing that we have to do. You have to annihilate yourself, you have to annihilate yourself. And he said that when Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said these words, this is the effect, buzurgan din awliya, when we speak, there's no effect. They say few things and what effect it has. He said he made ishara to him. He indicated to him and he said these words. So he mentioned Mawlana Alim Niyaz Sahib rahmatullah alayhi says that when he indicated and he said this word, he said, I could feel that jerk, that jolt of it, that movement in my heart. He says, I could feel by that ishara of Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. Thereafter they say, what was the status of Mawlana Alim Niyaz Sahib rahmatullah alayhi? He says, how didn't he annihilate himself? That he would be standing outside the door of the khanqa. And when people would come in, the great mufassir of the Quran, Allama of his time, when people would come into the khanqa, he would straighten the shoes of the people. So this is that tawazu, and then how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala spread his fuyus throughout the world. So this only comes when a person humbles himself and lowers himself, then his fuyus and his blessings spread throughout the world. Dr. Abdul Hisab Arifi rahmatullah alayh, he says that many a times I walk without shoes also. And then he explained that why do I walk without shoes? So he says, I heard and I read one narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there were those occasions where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk without shoes. So he says, I used to practice on this narration of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I also walked without shoes. And then he says, the second reason that I walk without shoes, he says that when I would walk without shoes, then I will address myself. And I will tell myself that nange pao, you don't have any shoes on your feet. You came in the world also, you didn't have any shoes on your feet. And then he says that nange badan, that you came without clothing also. And when you leave this world, you're going to leave without clothing. Just the kafan is going to be put on you. And without shoes also, you're going to leave the world. And nange sar, when you came in the world, you didn't have a topi on your head. And when you leave the world, then too, you're not going to have a topi on your head. So he says, when this is your reality, you got nothing. So he says that how can a person then have pride? So he says, this is how I address myself and I walk without shoes. Then Dr. Abdul Hisab Arifi rahmatullah alayhi says, he says, on one occasion I was sitting in the clinic in Pakistan. He says, whilst we were sitting over there, I seen Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi walking in the streets of Pakistan now, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan we're talking about. And he says he's walking with a pot in his hand in the street of Pakistan. Today we feel shy to carry one box from our garage into the kitchen. He's walking in the streets of Pakistan with a pot in his hand. So Dr. Abdul Hisab Arifi rahmatullah says, I asked those people that were sitting there, that do you know who this man is? So they didn't know. So he said that I told them that this is the Grand Mufti of Pakistan. Now can you imagine such a person? He's walking with a pot in his hand in Pakistan. What humbleness Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given him. Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, the Grand Mufti of Darul Uloom Dioban. It is mentioned, what was his humbleness? Mufti Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, it is mentioned that every morning before he would come to the Darul Iftah, in the area that he was staying, there were many widows that were living there. So he used to go to their homes and they would have a list ready for him. That today you must go to the market and you must buy this grocery for us. Buy this item, so much of this, so much of this. So he would take that list and he will go to the marketplace and he will purchase the grocery. And then he will bring it back. When he will come back, many a times he would tell him that this is not what we required. This is not what we ordered. The quantity is also wrong. So go back and change it. Now can you imagine the great Grand Mufti of Darul Uloom Dioban, that he would then go back, come back and give them the goods, and then you will proceed to the madrasa. But obviously today we shouldn't do this. Work under the guidance of our mashayikh, explain to our sheikh, and if he permits us, then it's a different case. But his taqwa, what was his level of taqwa? And what a great alim, what a grand mufti of Darulum Dioban he was. But this was his humbleness. And when this was the humbleness, then today when we look at the fatawa Darulum Dioban, just the old copy, I don't even know about the new copy, but the old print, that was in 12 volumes. That was Hazrat Mufti Sahib, all his fatawa that were written there. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when this was his humbleness, look at his Ma'riful Quran. Mawlana Daya Sahib Damod Barakatuh mentioned in one jalsa, he said that if a person got the Ma'riful Quran of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he says you don't need another tafsir. Everything is found in this tafsir of his. His Jawahirul Fiqh, his Ahkamul Quran, what kitab they had written and how Allah Ta'ala accepted. But all this came when they totally annihilated themselves, they humbled themselves, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accepted them throughout the four corners of the world. Mawlana, it is mentioned regarding Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah. Let's take one or two other examples. To understand that our akabirin, how they practically demonstrated to us what is tawazu, what is humbleness. One simple kurta and one lungi is to wear. There was a time where the British had issued a warrant of arrest of Hazrat Mawlana. So the police had come and Hazrat Mawlana was in a masjid. So at that time when they came, they told him that where is Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali. So obviously Hazrat Mawlana was standing there. So he used tawriya on this particular occasion. So he moved one step away. And he said he was here just now. So when they looked at him, they said a man with a kurta like this, with a lungi like this, how can he be Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanoti? So they left him and they went away. So this was the humbleness that they had. They totally annihilated themselves. It is mentioned regarding Hazrat Shah Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullah Ali. Great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is mentioned he made dua for many, many years. Allah grant me the tawfiq of performing hajj. It is mentioned when Allah ta'ala accepted this dua, he came for hajj to Makkatul Mukarramah. And after hajj, with great humbleness, he proceeded to Madinatul Munawwara. When he came to Madinatul Munawwara, he recited some ash'ar before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This has been written in the kitabs of history, in the books of history. How authentic this all Allah alone knows. But nevertheless, he recited some ash'ar, the meaning and the crux of which is, that Ya Rasulullah, that previously my ruh and my soul would visit you. I couldn't come to Madinatul Munawwara. My ruh and my soul would visit you. And my ruh would kiss the ground of Madinatul Munawwara. But today physically I am present here in Madinatul Munawwara. Ya Rasulullah, spread out your Mubarak hand so that I may kiss your Mubarak hand. It is mentioned in the history of Islam, prior to this never did such an occasion ever occur. And after this, never did it ever take place. Just on this particular occasion, the Mubarak hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came forth. So Shah Ahmad Rifai rahmatullahi alayhi, he kissed the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this was an incident that never took place before. And it's an incident that never took place after this also. So what did he do? That perhaps now pride, vanity might come into me. He lay down at the doorstep of Masjid al-Nabawi. And he said to the people that now go over me, trample, so to say, trample over me, walk over me, and then exit from the masjid. So I regard myself that I'm absolutely nothing. I am absolutely nothing and everyone is superior to me. So this very same as Shah Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullah Ali. On one occasion he was walking, and there was a dog that was ill, whatever sickness this dog had, but the dog was very, very ill, on the verge of dying. So he picked this dog up, and he brought this dog home. And this dog then required treatment from a vet, from the doctor. So he arranged for the treatment. And this dog was treated for approximately 2 to 3 months. So when this dog was now well, he told his muridin that take this dog and give it to somebody if they prepared to take care of this dog. But if they're not prepared to take care of this dog, then leave this dog. I will personally attend to this dog. I will take care of this dog. So nevertheless, this very same Hazrat Shah Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullah Ali was proceeding for the Jumu'ah Salah. And he came to a particular place, he was clean, he had clean, a very clean kurta, just taken his ghusl. And he came to a bridge. On one side of the bridge was a dog. And on this side was Hazrat Shah Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullah Ali going for the Jumu'ah Salah. So now, there was only two paths. One was to cross to the bridge where only one person could cross. And the other part was to go down. Which was a muddy path. And perhaps there was some filth, there was napaki that was there also. So he indicated to the dog that I am going for the Jumu'ah Salah. You take the bottom route and let me take the top route. Let me cross over the bridge and go for the Jumu'ah Salah. So at that time, this was one miracle. Allah Ta'ala gave speech to that dog. And the dog spoke and the dog said that if you regard me to be inferior, if you regard me to be lower than you, that is why you are telling me to take the bottom path. Then he says that if that napaki had to come onto your clothes and you wash that napaki, the napaki will be removed and your clothes will become pak. But if you say it because you regard yourself to be superior to me, then remember the water of the seven oceans cannot cleanse your heart from that pride also. And then the dog spoke up and the dog said that this is an ihsan. This is a favor that I'm doing because you had showed ihsan to my puppy. Not very long ago, my puppy was ill. You took care of my small one. So that is why I am mentioning this to you. So where was his ilm? Where was his kamal? Where was his taqwa and piety? And look at the humbleness that he had displayed. So here a person, he physically has to show this humbleness. This has to come, this quality of tawazu. This is a quality of the heart. Just by writing a few titles, tawazu is not going to come into a person. Or just by verbally saying that I am nothing, tawazu is not going to come into a person. Our Hazrat explains, he said one person used to write to Hazrat Mawlana Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullahi. And in his letters, he would then write in the end, that Nachiz, that I am nothing. So once Hazrat Mawlana Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullahi was in the haram of Madina Kul Munawwara. And this person then pitched up in the haram of Madina Sharif. So he came to meet Hazrat Mawlana Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullahi. So Hazrat said, Gada to Aya. That Gada, oh donkey, you came. So he became very, very upset. He became very angry that I'm being referred to as a donkey. So Hazrat said, that you write in your letters, Nachiz, I am absolutely nothing. And yeah, I made you something very, very big, I made you into a donkey. So the reality is, when a person, he comes with these titles, Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi says, that when a person, he comes with these titles, it is very easy to test him, but we shouldn't try and test anybody. We should, if a person displays that humbleness, regard him, he's a humble person. We are no one to test him. But he says, very easy to test the person. He says, a person comes, he says that I am nothing. Say, in reality, you are nothing. He says, I'm a sinner. He says, of course, in reality you are a sinner. He says, if the person, he appreciates that you tell him that you are a sinner, you are as you are saying, then this man has got humbleness. But if you see the face of his, the color of his face now changing, then this is the indication that this person doesn't have humbleness in him. He is just an outward. And what he actually wants, he's going to say, I'm nothing, I'm a sinner. He wants you to say, no, where you're a sinner? You're a buzruk, you're a Allahwala, you're a Allama of the time. That's what he wants from you. So Mawlana Thanvi, what a Hakimul Ummat he was. How he used to pick up these diseases. And he used to give the solution and the cure to these diseases also. But here a question comes about. And the question that comes about over here, that when a person, he displays so much of tawazu, so much of humbleness, whereas Allah Ta'ala in reality has given a person a ni'mat. Allah Ta'ala has given him a bounty. A person has got knowledge. He's a knowledgeable, he's an allama, he's got a lot of knowledge. But now, in humbleness, he says, I know nothing. So isn't this the na-shukri of Allah Ta'ala? A person, he's got wealth. And he says, I got nothing. So isn't this the na-shukri of Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala has given him. He's supposed to be making shukr to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So ulama say, mashayikh say, that there must be moderateness also. In the tawazu that a person makes, there must be moderateness. The tawazu should not go to such a level that a person now starts making na-shukri to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. One incident of tawazu that has been mentioned in the kitabs, he mentioned there was a particular king. He was, prior to becoming a king, he was a slave. So what he did, the slave, he was the slave of the king, but he murdered the king. And after murdering the king, he became the king. He took the position of the king. So later on, he had many children also, they became the prince. And he called the great Allama of the time, Allama Izzuddin ibn Salam rahmatullahi. So he told Allama ibn Izzuddin ibn Salam rahmatullahi, who was a great Allama, a great wali of Allah Ta'ala, very muttaqi person. He told him that I want to appoint you as the qazi of the country. So Allama Izzuddin ibn Salam rahmatullahi told him that only that person can appoint me as a qazi, who's the khalifa of the time. And you're not the khalifa, you're a slave. A slave cannot become the king. Secondly, all the land that you possess, all the wealth that you possess does not belong to you. A slave doesn't possess anything. You have killed the king and you have taken the seat of the king. So that king, although he did wrong, but they also had some fear of Allah Ta'ala. So he wanted to rectify the situation. So he told Allama Izzuddin ibn Salam rahmatullahi that how should I rectify the situation? So Allama Izzuddin ibn Salam rahmatullahi says somebody has to purchase you because you were a slave, you're still a slave. You have to be purchased. And when you are purchased, that money that has been used to purchase you, that goes to the inheritors of the king. It belongs to them. That money must be given to them. And then the person that purchases you, he must then free you. And when you are freed, now you can assume the position of king, of kingship. So one person, he was taken. It is mentioned so much of humbleness he had. that this is one, also one rare incident in history, that a king was put in the marketplace and he was auctioned. He was sold, one person purchased him. And after purchasing him, that money was given to the inheritors. And then he was freed. And after he was freed, then he became the king. And now Allama Izzuddin ibn Salam rahmatullahi alayhi became the qazi of the time. He was appointed as a qazi because this person was worthy of becoming the king. So look at that tawazu that was required, that it meant absolutely nothing for this person to go to the marketplace and to be auctioned. So a person, there should be moderateness, as we say. A person that he gets the tawfiq, for example, spending 10 days in i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan. So now he shouldn't have that attitude that I'm a great buzruk now, that 10 days I spend in i'tikaf. Or a person, he spent 40 days in the khanqa, or 40 days in jamaat, whatever it might be. Or a person graduates as an alim of deen. That attitude shouldn't be there, that I'm the greatest allama of the time, I'm the wali of the time. So on one side, he can't have so much of pride also. But on the other side, there's this Arabic saying, صَلَّ الْحَائِكُ رَقْعَتَيْنِ وَانْتَذَرَ الْوَحْيَ. That a weaver, person that is weaving the cloth, what he did, he read two rakats of namaz. So when he read these two rakats of namaz, he thought, I became the allama of the time. So now he is waiting for wahi. He thought, I got nubuwat, because I got the tawfiq of reading two rakats of namaz. So little bit ibadat we make, and now we're waiting for kayfiyat, that I want to see that what is my position. So a person shouldn't be like this, that we do little bit, and then we think that we have reached very, very high. But at the same time, we read that two rakats of namaz, don't make so much of tawazu, that we make now shukri to Allah Ta'ala. For example, a person, oh mashallah, Allah Ta'ala gave you the tawfiq, you read tahajjud namaz. So don't now say, that what is my tahajjud? This was just up, down, kiss the ground, and it was over. Don't say that. That is not shukri to Allah Ta'ala. There must be moderateness in this. So what a person should say at that time, this is the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala gave me the tawfiq of reading the tahajjud namaz. It is the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala gave me the tawfiq to go in jamaat, to spend the 40 days in the khanqa, to spend the 10 days in i'tikaf. This is the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala. So this is how a person should draw the balance, that there shouldn't be now shukri also of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, where there must be extreme humbleness also. So nevertheless, it is mentioned that a certain person came to Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali. So he told Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, that Hazrat, so a person should have fear also that my ibadat is accepted and make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. So this person that came to Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, he told Haji Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he said, Hazrat, that I'm making the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, I'm reading namaz, but I don't know whether my namaz is accepted or my namaz is not accepted. So Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali told him, he said, Allah Ta'ala is giving you the tawfiq to come for the next namaz. This is an ishara, this is an indication that the previous namaz of yours has been accepted. This which Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali explains. In one place, Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali says, there was a pious person. So he says, he used to make a lot of ibadat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, tasbihat, tilawat of Quran, etc. So he says, this person, he once thought to himself that I'm getting no response from Allah Ta'ala. I'm getting no response. So he came to his sheikh, he told his sheikh that I'm getting no response from Allah Ta'ala, I'm making the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. So his sheikh told him that the fact that Allah Ta'ala is giving you the tawfiq to continue with this, he says this is an indication that it's acceptance from Allah Ta'ala. Now this Dr. Abdul Haysab Arifi rahmatullahi explains it very beautifully for us to understand. He says you go to a person and you praise him on the first day. He says if that person is happy with you, he'll allow you to come the second day. Second day you'll praise him. And if he's happy, he'll continue. Third day, fourth day, he'll continue, allowing you to come and praise him. But he says, if that person is not happy with you, first day, he'll tolerate you. Second day, he'll become a little displeased. And the third day, he'll move you out. He'll say, you know what, don't come back here and praise me now. I don't like these praises of yours. So he says, similarly, in the exact way, when Allah Ta'ala is happy that you have read your namaz, Allah Ta'ala will give you the tawfiq of the second namaz, the third namaz, the fourth namaz. That is an indication, an ishara, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is happy with a person. So a person should balance it. One side, make a lot of shukr to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala gave me the tawfiq. And on the other side, a person should make istighfar, that where is my ibadat worthy of being presented in the court of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So a lot of shukr and a lot of istighfar. As the Dr. Abdul Haysab Arifi rahmatullahi used to tell his mureedin, he used to say that make a lot of shukr to Allah. Make a lot of shukr to Allah Ta'ala. And then he used to say, he says that later on, perhaps Allah Ta'ala will give you the understanding of why you should make so much of shukr to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He says that ye shukr amrad e batina ke jar ko kaat denge. He says the shukr of Allah Ta'ala, this will cut off the root of all our spiritual illnesses, all these illnesses that are because of pride. When a person will make shukr, it will then be cut off. One of the murids of Dr. Abdul Haysab Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi is Mufti Taqi Sahib Usmani Daud Barakatum, Shaykhul Islam. What a great allama of this time. Mufti Sahib says that at that time, when Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hisab Arifi rahmatullah used to say this, he says we couldn't understand it at that time. He says the effect of that shukr, now at this time of my life, later in my life, he says now we are finding the effect of that shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This our Hazrat also many times explained to us. He says that two qualities a person brings in him. He says he will fly to Allah ta'ala in no time. He says one is tawazu, and he says the second is shukr. When that shukr is made, and tawazu comes in with that, then we find that a person will fly to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what I have mentioned. Allah ta'ala gives me the tawfiq of making amal, and all of us the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.